You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. During this health and economic crisis, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and its Hawaii counterpart, HAIMA, have been in daily contact. This morning, we talked with Bob Fenton, head of FEMA's Region 9, covering the Western region and the Pacific, about how it's managing the needs of the various island communities. It was also our first opportunity to talk with Luke Myers, the executive officer at the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency. We start with Myers.
From the state emergency operation perspective, in supporting Director Hara and Governor Ige, we have a number of missions that we are working. We're very proud that the public has taken to the call of action to flatten the curve, which has been very instrumental for the state of Hawaii. We do have a number of large missions that we continue to work in support with our federal partners. We have a federal incident management team here. And the state partners and the private and public sector partners. One of the large ones to your question was about the incident health facilities. The state had looked very carefully at larger alternate care facilities, isolation, quarantine, and alternate care sites. As this incident has unfolded and we've flattened the curve in the immediate term, we continue to work with federal partners on potentially building out those options, but at this time, the impacts are that we have other resources in place to kind of help manage isolation and quarantine through each of the counties.
And we are hearing about the need for personal protective gear and test kits and reagents. I mean, how are we sitting with all that?
Yeah, so one of the missions here at the State Emergency Operations Center is logistics. We are the main coordinating body in partnership with State Department of Health on getting commodities for this incident. We are working very closely with FEMA Region 9 and HHS on larger PPE commodities that would come in, and then we push those out. Right now, based on the demands that we're seeing for the healthcare industry here in Hawaii, we are meeting the needs of those essential actions. We do see that there is a great need for industrial hygiene products, especially as we look to reopening, and for those essential facilities that are open at this time. So we've kind of looked at this through two lenses from the state emergency operations perspective. One is on the PPE, and then those industrial hygiene products to actually support the operations that are up and running.
And Bob Fenton, you have kind of a bird's eye view for this whole region. You know, where do you see the biggest demand right now?
Yeah, so I'd say right now the next thing that we will go into, especially as Lucas said, most of the states in our region have done a great job of bending the curve, and that goes out to not only leadership, through the governors in our region, but the public. You know, the public's done a great job of protecting themselves, staying physically distanced, taking all the right steps in this event to stop the virus from continuing to move. So because of that, the next step we're at is looking at, what is reopening of the economies look like? And what we're working with is the governors across our region to put in place sufficient testing capabilities so that as you're able to reopen, you're able to test. And we just had a call with state public health there in Hawaii and emergency management and CDC and a bunch of others to understand, what is the capability there, what are the testing machines they use, what resources they need to improve it, what's their plan, those kind of things. So we just started that discussion. To me, that's the next big thing we'll get into. I think Luke is exactly right. We've done a great job of building the contingency capability for medical support. PPE, we're doing three different focus areas of effort in PPE. One is we've created an air bridge for private companies to supply hospitals to move their stuff in, and flown over 100 planes into the United States with stuff going directly to the hospitals in Hawaii. The second thing we've done is open up new manufacturing capability and continue to do that by getting FDA approvals both inside and outside the country. And the third thing we're doing is going after people that are hoarding or price gouging with regard to PPE. So I think we've built the medical capability. We're getting a handle on the PPE as more manufacturing comes up. The next thing will be, do we have enough testing capability to make sure that we're testing as we start to change the conditions with regard to mitigation.
And can you give us a snapshot of where things are at? I know Honolulu's mayor wants to increase the testing and wants to bring in test kits that I guess it's still unclear whether we've got the proper federal approvals to go with those types of tests. Luke, can you give us a handle on where we're at with that?
So as Bob mentioned, we've just started the kind of a detailed process here in coordination with our federal partners and State Department of Health on identifying the state testing strategy. The details on that are being worked out this week, in particular with Dr. Anderson and Dr. Park. Some more details to come on that. Obviously, there are a lot of capabilities that we will need as we look to reopening not only the individual islands, but inter-island and eventually larger travel from abroad. But at this time, that's a work in progress. We do understand that testing is, as Bob mentioned, is the most important capability to kind of open up. But also on the other side, we need to ensure that we have the health capacity here to handle any potential clusters that may arise as we move forward. Obviously, this incident continues to evolve, and we need those capacities in place.
And Hawaii has, you know, certain challenges because it's, you know, geography. And Bob, you've been out to Micronesia, Guam, Saipan, those areas. Their healthcare facilities maybe are not quite as robust as Honolulu's. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it makes it much more complex. Just not only the long logistical lines to get there as far as, you know, really air being the primary resource we'd use, just the limited capability on those islands. So it was even more important on Guam and Sinai to build additional medical capability. Obviously, on Guam, you had the complexity of the Teddy Roosevelt going there, why this event happened, and it's having its own issues with regard to sailors contracting COVID. So all those things play into the complexity, including sending resources out to Micronesia, Marshall Islands, when we dispense the strategic national stockpile there. The good news is the Micronesia and Marshall Islands have been pretty much COVID-free. Guam and Sinai has done a great job of putting in very strict mitigation measures, and basically they've flattened their curve. And on Sinai, I haven't seen a number go up in the last 10 days. So very good efforts there and leadership by both governors there. But we were ready by bringing in additional medical supplies. Obviously, we worked really close with PACOM, and PACOM would be a major force provider for medical augmentation in any of the islands of the Pacific, including Hawaii.
Has the military then been able to help support the local governments there as they deal with the aircraft carrier situation?
Yeah, not only are they taking care of their own situation and using the hotels there to help physically distance their sailors, but what they've done is they've deployed out personnel to be ready to assist for my medical capability if needed. So in Saipan, they deployed 6 nurses over there. They have a testing team over there helping Saipan with its testing, deploying some biologists over there. And in Guam, we've deployed a team to provide technical assistance. We have ready to go in coordination with PACOM additional medical resources if needed. We continue to watch the testing that goes on every day. We are partnered with John Hopkins, who does a lot of modeling with us, and then we work very closely with both of the medical teams in Guam and Sinai to make sure that our modeling and information matches what they have, so that we can predict when the need may come or when there's rises projected based on new conditions.
You know, I just read something about how two Samoas dealt with a pandemic way back in the early 1900s, and the strategy taken by American Samoa was far more effective than I think Samoa when it was under New Zealand's control. But it was just fascinating to see, you know, you take these actions early and you can protect the island populations.
Yeah, I think American Samoa is, I know American Samoa is still the only U.S. state or territory that is COVID-free. And I think a little bit of that is early actions, but also, as you remember, they had a measles outbreak, late last year. So they were taking preventative actions from that, and I think they were able to then leverage that as they went into COVID and stop the movement of COVID to their island. Actually, I got a call with the American Samoa governor a little bit later on today to talk to him, and much like every other state, we still issued him a major declaration, and we have a team down there, and we were also sending a team down there to increase their testing capability, but they've done a tremendous job of taking measures early on to prevent COVID from affecting them.
Probably everybody's in the same situation, you know, looking for more ventilators in the event things do escalate. Are we providing enough equipment to those smaller island communities?
Yeah, not only have we provided some ventilators out ahead of time, but at this point I track very closely the medical capability that exists as far as ventilators, beds in use, ICU beds in use, and I have very good visibility on a day-by-day basis. We're sharing data back and forth like never before. So I can actually see real-time what's happening there. And then with the modeling, I can project. And the Strategic National Stockpile, once we pushed it out initially, we've rebuilt it. And so that sits there and ready to use. One of the things about this event is, you know, think of COVID and it affecting the population as kind of a U-shaped curve, meaning that you know, it started with just a couple people affected, and then it built and it built and it increased. And not until we took mitigation measures did that start to bend that curve. Well, what we did is we went ahead, and as we, you know, everyone in the United States is at a different time table as far as going into that curve. And if you remember early on, it was California, Washington, New York, and then, you know, other parts of the United States started going into that curve. So Hawaii, Guam, and Sinai were some of the later ones to go into that, but they've done such a great job, like I said, not only the governors, their leadership, the mayors, but really the public in ensuring that they were able to bend that curve and really decrease the need for any major medical capability. We still stand by. We're still ready, and now we've been able to purchase and turn on manufacturing and create more medical capacity that if we need it, it'll be there.
And Luke, I don't know, have we seen any of the deficiencies in any of the medical supplies that we might be getting, let's say, from China?
Through our logistics section at the state EOC, we have been trying to procure resources, obviously, through our federal partners, but here locally, obviously trying to support the local businesses and the economy here in Hawaii. We have looked to some of our other countries out to our west. We necessarily haven't seen any deficiencies here in the products, but we are screening as our procurement is actively trying to buy PPE.
And then how is FEMA looking at this regional plan that some of the states have as far as reopening?
The president's put out his four criteria for reopening government, and really the decision is down to each governor on how they will implement that. Each state is geographically different with different populations, different cultures within it, and all those things you need to be taken into account and where you are in that curve and the decisions they need to make. And so that's why, you know, I kind of let off in the beginning is really, you know, when you ask me what's our priority is to make sure that we have enough testing capability, because as governors go to make those decisions, what they're going to have to do is, and I suspect that those decisions will be made, you know, it won't be a complete return to normal. It will be a phased return. And as they do that, we still need to continue to make sure that we have not only the testing, but the surveillance so that if COVID does come up somewhere, that we're able to quickly isolate those people and contain it from not affecting a greater part of the population. And so all that leads to making sure that we have testing, that we have surveillance, and that there's a plan in place, especially for island communities like Hawaii, where so much tourism comes in from overseas, you know, that we need to make sure that we have a very solid plan in place and how that will work. And so what we want to make sure is that we understand, you know, what are the requirements, what support does Hawaii need with that, and that we're able to bring in those resources to support their labs.
We have been talking with FEMA's Region 9 Administrator Bob Fenton and HAEIMA's new administrator, Luke Myers, about the approach to handling this pandemic across Pacific Island communities.